My name is Lee Hawkins. I've been a journalist for over 25 years. On my new podcast, What Happened in Alabama, I get answers to some of the hardest questions about how things came to be for many Black Americans and the truth that must come before any reconciliation can happen. I investigate my family history, my upbringing in Minnesota, and my father's painful nightmares about growing up in Alabama. What Happened in Alabama is a new series confronting the cycles of trauma for myself, my family, and for many Black Americans. Listen now.
There is one last chance to double your impact when you donate during this May fundraiser. It's Match Monday, and the Investors Challenge Fund is matching donations, today only, up to $25,000. We need to put every dollar of these funds to use for our newsroom in the months ahead so we can keep you and people across the country informed. Give right now and generously at marketplace.org/donate. A major player bails out of the U.S. News Graduate School rankings. I'm David Brancaccio. First, there's news Google's parent company Alphabet will end the jobs of 12,000 people. Earlier this week, it was Microsoft announcing 10,000 people will go. It's all part of big tech companies shifting from what were pandemic-driven boom years.
In an email to employees this morning, Alphabet CEO Sundar Pichai said the layoffs are necessary because the company had been hiring to match dramatic growth over the last 2 years and now faces a different economic reality. Pichai said affected employees in the U.S. have already been notified. The layoffs come 2 weeks before Alphabet is scheduled to release its quarterly results for the final months of last year. Analysts are expecting a downcast report from Alphabet and other big tech companies. In advance of those reports, there have been layoffs across the tech sector. Amazon cut 18,000 jobs this week. Microsoft cut 10,000 workers. I'm Nova Safa for Marketplace.
In recent months, a number of high-profile law schools have pulled themselves out of the U.S. News & World Report rankings. Now it's Harvard Medical School, saying it'll no longer submit data to U.S. News. Still, the influence of this ranking system persists. Marketplace's Stephanie Hughes has that.
In a country with 4,000 colleges, rankings provide a way to help prospective applicants sort through them, says Patrick Lorenzo, a counselor at St. Ignatius College Prep, a high school in San Francisco.
We're in this, you know, hyper-technological, busy thing, so I think it's also really convenient.
But convenience doesn't take into account the complexity of an educational degree. That's basically what Harvard's medical school dean said in an open letter about the rankings. Meanwhile, Yale Law School has called U.S. News' methodology profoundly flawed. U.S. News' executive chairman and CEO, Eric Gertler, says it'll continue to rank schools, whether they respond to its surveys or not, using whatever publicly available data it can find. But
when there's less data and less data that is not accessible, that is not good for helping the student make that decision.
U.S. News also says it's making changes to how it creates the rankings. And counselors like Patrick Lorenzo say maybe consider looking at a whole book of colleges instead of just a list. I'm Stephanie Hughes for Marketplace.
NASDAQ futures are up 0.5%. S&P futures are up 0.1%. Dow futures are down 0.1%. Crude oil is up 0.9%, $81 a barrel now.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.
This year's World Economic Forum in Davos is wrapping up today. Political and business leaders sprinkled with economists in a fancy Swiss mountain resort setting, talking policy and making friends. Let's check in with Patrick Fowles, The Economist magazine's foreign editor. Hi there, Patrick.
Hi, David, and hello from a freezing cold Davos.
Yeah, sorry about that, but apparently the vibe is warmer despite all this fragmentation geopolitically, Russia's war on Ukraine, widening gaps between rich and poor. There's a certain bounce to the step of participants that you're detecting.
Yeah, that's right. We arrived here thinking it was going to be really gloomy, you know, recession, end of globalization. And in fact, the mood's a bit better. Several reasons for that. One is most companies and economists reckon, you know, the world economy has actually been doing a bit better than expected. Inflation's coming down a bit. Secondly, people are talking a lot about China's reopening, and China sent for the first time for a long time a senior government figure here to kind of do a charm offensive for global business, saying China's back in business. And then the last thing people are pretty excited about, I think, is the sense of a big surge in investment in the energy transition and the sense that that's becoming a lot more tangible and real.
Yes, because in the U.S., we have the big Inflation Reduction Act, which, among many other things, tries to speed up the U.S. transition to more sustainable energy. And in fact, this week out of Davos, the European Union has a response, a plan of its own.
Yeah, well, from the point of view of the climate, you know, the IRA is probably a good thing. It's going to lead to much more investment in the U.S. But for the rest of the world, it's a bit terrifying, really, because there's a big concern that investment will be drawn away from Europe, away from parts of Asia to the US. So what you're seeing is countries and companies talking a lot about how they're going to respond. The EU's probably going to dilute some of its rules on competition and trade in order that it can put in place its own subsidy program. And lots of other countries are doing similar things. India, Indonesia, for example. So the world is adjusting to the new reality of that landmark piece of legislation from the Biden administration.
The World Economic Forum's annual meeting at this Swiss ski resort, I suppose, is useful for networking, you know, the great and the good rubbing shoulders, maybe friendships forged, maybe deals made. But really, after the pandemic years, the party atmosphere is really back?
Well, I'm told the number of attendees is higher than ever. And, you know, everything is rammed here, queues to get through security, to get into meetings. And Davos is a bit like a school disco for chief executives, with everyone kind of making contacts, socializing, and that's all happening. But the interesting thing is a couple of things have changed compared to a few years ago when Davos was last in full swing. One is there's far fewer people from Russia and China, the two big autocratic countries, and they're not really as much of a bigger presence. The democracies, India, Indonesia, now have a much bigger weight here. The other thing is Ukraine is still there, and it's obviously of the utmost seriousness. And President Zelensky addressed Davos demanding more arms, demanding more weaponry. And that's a kind of difference too, a sense that that conflict is still rumbling away. And obviously the stakes there are incredibly high.
Patrick Fowles, The Economist magazine's foreign editor in Davos, Switzerland this week. Patrick, thank you.
Thanks for having me, David.
And maybe you were stuck the other morning when the FAA grounded departures of all domestic flights in the U.S. This after the FAA's notifications for airport hazards stopped working. Now a preliminary federal review is placing blame on unnamed contractors who apparently deleted some computer files by accident. If that happened, then a new question will be, how could that happen? The airline industry is already gearing up to use the incident to promote a modernization of air traffic systems. Our digital producer is Jarrett Dang on drums, with Jessen Dueler on tenor sax and Nick Esposito on keyboards. I'm just Dave Roncaccio, Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.